Welcome, everybody, to Back in My Day. My name is David Petrangelo, and this week, the not-so-stereotypical millennials will be talking about the what could now be called a phenomenon of Barbieheimer. Yes, that's right. Myself and Ian both went to go see one of these movies. You'd be surprised who went to go see each one. It's just the two of us this week. Ian has recorded his experience seeing Barbie on opening night, the night before opening day on Thursday evening. And I just walked out of the theater. It is 1:15 in the morning. I just walked in the house and I just finished watching Oppenheimer. So we're going to give our thoughts, brief thoughts of just a couple minutes each on each of these movies, and raw, unedited, just blabbing on thoughts, especially my own, because, man, I'm tired. And not because the movie was long and long-winded. I might be, but the movie was not. So I will hand Ian the reins in just a couple moments, but because I have the microphone and I have the power, sirs, I'm going to talk about Oppenheimer for a little bit. So first and foremost, I want to just mention my brief experience and sort of perspective on walking into the movie theater. Like I mentioned, it's 1:30 in the morning here almost, as I'm recording this, which means I got into the movie theater just before 10 p.m. And there was also a screening for Barbie happening pretty much at the same time. Mine was at 9:50. I'm sure the Barbie one was pretty much the same. When I walked in, it was pretty busy. I was surprised. Yes, it's a Friday night. Yes, it's opening night for two big movies. But I hadn't seen a movie theater that busy around concessions and stuff in quite some time. I don't go often, granted, and I don't go often on opening nights, but there was a whole lot of pink as well. So I was a little bit worried that only Barbie was getting the attention, but the Oppenheimer Theater was quite full, especially for that time of the evening. I would say three quarters full. I planted myself right in the middle, and I think it was the fourth or fifth row, so I had a pretty good seat. It was not IMAX, so I can't speak to that experience, but the movie was an experience. That is definitely what it is. Christopher Nolan goes from, all the stuff that we've talked about with his movies, especially with the Batman trilogy. We've talked countless times about those and what those movies mean to us, especially to Mike. It's so crazy. I've sort of thought about it on my way home, where a guy like this makes a movie like Oppenheimer, but also chooses to make Batman. I know he had high profile, great movies before that trilogy came along, of course. But when you see what he crafted to create Oppenheimer, you got to wonder what made him gravitate towards Batman. I know there's interviews. I know there's ways to find that out, but what he made here is something special in a different way. Yes, he created an incredible Dark Knight and he created an incredible series of movies, but Oppenheimer is on another level, not just because it goes deep into character, it goes deep into our world history, it goes deep into US history and technology and war. It just goes into the human condition and what it means to create, what it means to be a person that has high profile, what it means to have connections, what it means to have drive and ambition, what it means to connect to the people along the way that help you create what you create, or, reach your failures as well and learn from those failures. There's a lot going on in this movie. It's really hard to sort of encapsulate it in just a couple of minutes. But it's an epic, almost 3 hour long movie. And even though it does move a little bit slowly, because it really is a lot of just people talking and a lot of jargon, a lot of science going on, as it should be with when you're creating the atomic bomb and talking about World War II and scientists and everything. But it's there's a lot of stuff going on. You kind of have to keep up with the pace sometimes with some of the discussions. But even though it is just a lot of people talking and a lot of deep discussion, I never felt bored. I never felt like this didn't need to be 3 hours. I think at one point I was like, oh, this must be coming to the end. And then there was another like 45 minutes. There are particular moments in this that I was just awestruck with the decisions that Nolan and the team made to create this. Sometimes it was just a quiet discussion. It is also the structure of the movie is very interesting. You know, certain angles are really tight up close, especially characters like Oppenheimer and like some of the other main characters. Like now the names are escaping me. I should have stuff in front of me, but I wanted to get my thoughts down raw. Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Washington is going through a hearing, and it's just his character, those two characters especially, are just absolutely amazing. The cast is massive. Every single person knocks it out of the park. I don't know, like, there's a lot of recognizable faces, but I believed every single one of them that they were that person. They were playing that character, but they were embodying that individual, even if they were only in the movie for a few minutes. There's some really high-profile, recognizable actors that are in there just for a few minutes. I guess if you're Christopher Nolan and you have a script like this and you have a movie like this, you're going to get those names. There's a couple moments in this that are not just about the talking and are just about other, I don't want to spoil it, but moments that are happening around that situation. And one of them, my jaw literally dropped and I gasped. Like I really did. And it was shocking. The movie really goes into deep meaning of what creation is, who people are, and what they can do with their mind, with their ability, with their relationships, what it means to, man, I said this before, what it means to create. It's got a lot really going on for it, and it is an absolutely excellent, excellent, excellent movie. If you're willing to go to the theater to see it, yes, it is a beautiful movie. It is definitely worth seeing on a big screen. Definitely has an incredible soundtrack. They really did a lot of great stuff with the sound design and soundtrack in this. It's one of the best in a Nolan movie, I think. And already, a lot of his are top notch. I'll get more sort of deeper thoughts and probably think about this over the course of the next, honestly, several weeks. But it's an excellent, excellent movie. Is it perfect? No, but nothing really is. But is it a guaranteed watch and something that people need to see? I think yes. And I think I'll just leave it at that. And just let you know that Ian's coming up next, and it's time to chat about Barbie for a bit.
Yes, that's right. Back in My Day has another double feature, another nerdy movie review for your listening entertainment. That means your boy Ian Walter's been out to the theater twice in one weekend. Because you know I had to see Oppenheimer, and you know I had to see Barbie, because we're all living in a pink world. That's right, a pink world that's about to get blown up, because I didn't realize what I was heading into with Barbie. And I saw Barbie first, and then I went in to see Oppenheimer, and I had sort of high expectations for both. I wanted both to be good films, but I had no idea what I was in for with Barbie. Basically, from the trailers, I thought it was going to be a bit of a comedy, goofy branded comedy, and Greta Gerwig did not disappoint, because she wrote and directed quite the masterpiece here, with Margot Robbie at the helm, and of course Ryan Gosling and Simu Liu and Kingsley Benadire as the various Kens. Of course, there was a roster of great Barbies as well in the film, with Issa Rae, Kate McKinnon, Alexander Shipp, Emma Mackey, hard enough to name a few, but just a huge cast of people. And honestly, a story that I wasn't prepared for. I know from the trailer they kind of allude to the fact that Barbie's going to go on this journey from Toyland or Barbieland to the real world. But we don't really know what's in store for her as far as the trailer is concerned. And what we get in the film is actually pretty poignant commentary. It actually has a message, I would say, to say about Barbie franchise overall, weighing in both the good and the bad aspects of a historical franchise like Barbie. And I think Greta Gerwig did a great job of reflecting all of that, while still telling a compelling story for the titular, let's call her, what they call her in the film, the stereotypical Barbie character of Margot Robbie. But she knocks it out of the park, as does most of the cast in this film. And it's just quite the surprise, I would say, for summer blockbusters. I'm sure the story takes some dark turns at times, but I think it's very important to shine a light on the issues that might have stemmed from such a giant symbol in the toy industry. So there are some moments where it gets a little dark, but there's always that through line of hope, I think, in the story as well, because it does kind of focus on the creativity behind such a product and the fact that it kind of changed the game in the toy industry. I think that's present there, but then it also looks at some of the darker sides to that kind of legacy. But I still think overall it's a very entertaining thrill ride, which I wouldn't have really expected going into see a Barbie movie. But I think Greta Gerwig does it justice by kind of giving it that serious spin, but also funny and heartfelt. I thought it was quite clever the way they navigated from the Barbie land with the, you know, stereotypical Barbie waking up in this world where she's pre-programmed and her and Ken have the same day in and out and it's always girls' night. And they go from this, what you would think, right into our world, but it's really more of a what they perceive the real world is. And they go in with these very stereotypical city people. Like, big antagonist of the film is Will Ferrell, who plays a big boss of Mattel. But it's even their world, Century City, seems like a part of the toy world more so than our actual world. But it's a great opportunity to give this satirical spin on what we would expect from a Barbie franchise movie. Like, you would just think, you know, all surface level, all pink all the time. And there is that on the surface, but then it dives deeper into what it means to be an iconic doll for decades for, you know, kids growing up and everything. So Barbie was really entertaining. It's a bit of a dark comedy, satirical look at the long-lasting Barbie doll franchise. So I would recommend going to see it because it might blow your mind, such as the Christopher Nolan Oppenheimer that it's up against this blockbuster weekend. We don't know where the overall summer box office is going to fall, but I'm hoping Barbie can keep it afloat, and then we're going to finish strong with Oppenheimer. So healthy double feature here from back in my day. So yeah, go see Barbie.
Where every night is boys' night.